Ahoy everyone, this is recording number 37 for Voyagers Under Sail. Today is, I don't even know what date it is, let me check quick. Okay, it's March 5th, 2019. And I'm recording this while our boat is at anchor in Panama, in the islands of San Blas. But we have to catch up with our events from Dominican Republic after leaving BVI. So we left BVI on I think it was Saturday or Sunday evening around 10 o'clock. It was just after David got his little present from Travis, the paddleboard, and we set off from Joost van Dijk. Late in the evening, we just got out of the channel, nice and easy. It was going to be a 2 nights and 1 day crossing to Dominican Republic in Samana Bay. Okay, our plan was to pass Puerto Rico without any stop, and go straight to Dominican Republic in Samana Bay. The sail was very good. We only used the engine when we arrived in Samana Bay because the wind was a little bit weak and we weren't making much progress, but apart from that it was a pretty decent sail, very little swell, maybe a meter and a half. It was a lovely, pleasant sail. I wouldn't say I was afraid, but I had a little bit of anxiety going again out in the ocean after spending so many weeks in, you know, the shelter waters of the Caribbean. This was the first passage that was a bit longer, and after crossing the Atlantic I kind of dreaded being out in the ocean again, but it proved to be a very pleasant passage, so no adventures, nothing there to get us worried. Samana Bay is famous for being able to see humpback whales. It's a place where humpback whales come in spring, early spring, January, February, March, and they come there for to mate and to raise their babies. And it's a place where people can actually see humpback whales pretty easily. When we approached the bay, I actually saw, but very far in the distance, you know, the spout of a humpback whale. But as we approached the Samana Bay and the port, we didn't see anything else. We arrived early, I'd say around 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was nice, pleasant. The quay looked busy, but we knew we were not allowed to get off the boat. So we just went really deep in the bay. We dropped our anchor very close to town in maybe 3 meters of water. Very dirty water. You can see actually plastic floating all over. When we picked up our anchor, we had like a plastic bag hanging on the anchor later on the day. Very, very polluted, I would say, and the water smelly and all of that, very close in the town. But anyway, we dropped the anchor and we waited. We waited for about 2 hours. A big cruiser ship was at the end of the bay as well. And I kind of suspected that the officials were very busy with that cruise ship. And indeed, there were loads of boats coming and going from the cruise ship, and tourists unloading and all of that. So I suppose it was very busy, the customs and officials were very busy. Later, I'd say around 11 o'clock, no, before even 12 o'clock, Luis, he came around on a dinghy, and I said, okay, that's the official guy from the customs, and we're going to do the papers, I'll take you to the shore, and we'll get everything sorted. And indeed, you know, the guy from he wasn't the customs, he was the Armada, so the Coast Guard, so to speak, yeah? He was wearing a military uniform. So he just came on the boat, he looked at us, he looked at the papers, got copies of them, got a little $20 present from us. But Luis told us, look, you just need to give him a tip, $20, that's it. No, no more talking. So, okay, that's it. We knew about that situation, so we didn't even make a fuss about it. And then I went ashore on my dinghy, a very busy dock where all the little charter boats that take people out and on daily excursions will be on that dock, so really, really busy and rolly and not well protected. But anyway, we went to that dock, and in about half an hour I was done. I got all the documents sorted, a few fees paid here and there, nothing hugely expensive. There was a $40 or $30 fee for anchoring in the port, but he said this is for the whole stay in the bay. And I was happy. And then Luis told me, look, if you want to have a nice, peaceful time while we're here in Samana, move across. And he pointed to an island at just the end of the bay that was very pleasant, very green, little beach, kind of about half a mile away from city, from the town. And a bridge will link that little island to the main town. It'll be, you're talking about 20 minutes walk. It was not a bridge for cars, so how to call it, a peatonal bridge, okay, for pedestrians. So we went there, we dropped our anchor in about 7 meters of water, and I saw some locals and a little hut on the beach, and I said, okay, I'm not gonna be happy staying here for 4 or 5 nights unless I go to the beach, try to talk to the people and try to, you know, get friendly with them and see what's going on. So I got in the dinghy, went to the shore, and here I meet Esteban, the guy who was actually paid to look after the beach, to clean the beach, because as I said, there is so much plastic, so a lot of plastic will be washed ashore. So his job was to clean the beach constantly. He had his little hut on the beach. He would sleep, cook. That was his life. And then there'll be the guards who actually guarded the island. There were some, a nice pathway, some lights for during the evening. So it was kind of a public park. And that's why there was a guard, looking after the place, making sure that it's not being vandalized. And that gave me a lot of confidence. I told Esteban, the guy that was looking out after the island, cleaning the island, I said, look, at the end of my stay here, I'll give you some money, but please just look after my boat if I'm away, look after my dinghy, and things like that. And we became friends instantly. He offered me coffee. I invited him for breakfast the next morning, and he came on our boat the next morning for breakfast. We actually became really good friends. He had a tap with fresh water on this little beach. We got fresh water from him whenever we needed. We left the dinghy on the beach and walked into town to avoid putting our dinghy into the very bad dock in front of the city. So it was very good to befriend him. Regarding the food in town, the shopping was pretty basic. But we had, we had good fun. They have these little motorbikes. You just hail them. They'll stop. They'll give you a short ride, whatever, to the supermarket and back or whatever you need for less than a dollar, like maybe kind of 50 cents to a dollar most of the time. The supermarket, as I said, was pretty basic. A bakery, but with a kind of different kind of bread that we are used to, but we got around that pretty easily. A fresh vegetables market with loads of stuff at very good prices. And on the last day of our stay in Samana, we actually found a cash and carry kind of supermarket where you buy in bulk for a better price, and we do some provisioning in that place. Apart from that, you have the little restaurants along the quay with decent prices, not expensive, but a little bit more than you'll get deeper in the city. We actually found an eatery a little bit further from the city center where they will do a grilled chicken every day and pork ribs and fish and absolutely beautiful rice. You can get white rice or black rice. The black rice will be rice mixed with black beans. So, and it was really tasty. I think it's called Moro. Absolutely beautiful. And you will get like a chicken portion, like a quarter of a chicken with the rice and a bit of salad and some spicy sauce for a ridiculous price, something like $2 or $3 dollars. Almost you pay more for the beer than you pay for the meal itself. But far from that, you can get a lovely pizza for $6 or $7 dollars. You get beers in the restaurant for less than around $2 or maybe $3, around $2 for a beer. Fresh food all the time. I wouldn't really eat burgers. They don't seem to be big in beef, unless you want pork burgers. But as long as you stick to fish and chicken, the food will be absolutely delicious. What activities did we went one day, just me and David, to do a zip lining, and it was absolutely amazing. That was a very expensive experience, but it was really, really nice. We got a motorbike, because it was just the two of us, to drop us to the zip line. So that was about half an hour ride through the little roads, through the, I wouldn't say the mountains, through the hills, up to the zip line place, and we got to see how the locals live. The little bungalows at the side of the road, a little bit of comfort, but not much. A lot of people, you can see their struggle. But, you know, it's quite a peaceful life. And we never felt under, you know, threatened or anything like that. We were warned to be, you know, cautious, but we never felt unsafe. We actually walked at night from town all the way through that bridge to our dinghy to, you know, to go to the boat, and it'll be 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. It'll be pretty dark, and we never had any problem. Actually, the guards will stop us and ask us where we're going, and once they knew what's going on, they would let us cross, you know, use the bridge to get to the island. So it was, I'd say it was very, very safe. The zipline place, it was amazing. There were like 14 or 13 ziplines. You start from the a very high little mountain or whatever you want to call it, a high hill. And you go from one side of the valley to the other side of the valley between like this post. And, you know, it was very safe but thrilling, because you just, you are 300 meters long zip line, you have 150 meters below you, the jungle and the river and all of that. It was absolutely beautiful. So me and David did that. He was a little bit afraid for the first zip line, but I encouraged him to do it. And after that, he had the time of his life. He was really, really happy. And when you finish with the zip line, there was this little waterfall in a nice big pool, natural pool. And David, there was like a rope tied up to the top of the tree, and you can go and swing and jump into the pool from that, and we had great fun there, David especially. That was one adventure. Another adventure was we took one of those day trips to see the whales. We decided that this would be the best option for us to actually get to see humpback whales, and we're very happy about this decision. Again, it wasn't a cheap trip. I think it was $60 per person, but we left the dock around 10 o'clock. We are back around 2 o'clock. It was 3.5 hours or so of a lot of information given by the lady who organizes the trip, and we actually got to see, I think, about 5 humpback whales, a mother and a cub or a child, and a few individuals in a few different occasions. It was amazing. It was amazing to see them like really close. I'm talking 50 meters from the boat. It was a big boat. There were like maybe 50 people on the boat or 60 people on the boat alone. But everything was very well organized with the refreshments and all of this. It was a an experience that we are not happy for. I'm happy for spending the money. It would have been a mistake not to do it. Another little adventure was taking the bus all the way to Santo Domingo, the capital of Dominican Republic. They actually call it La Capital, or yeah. So we took the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was I think $10 per person. It was around $40 to get to Santo Domingo. And by 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I'd say around 11 o'clock, we are in Santo Domingo in the old town. We just, you know, strolled around, went to visit, you know, a few places. We stopped, especially in the house that Christopher Columbus' son lived in. And we got to see, you know, how it was built and all of that. It was a nice experience. It was well worth spending the money going there. We had lunch, we had a few desserts, we bought a few fresh fruits from the supermarket, stuff that we wouldn't be able to find in Samana. And we took the bus back. We arrived again quite late, 8 o'clock or something like that. We stopped for a quick bite and then went to the boat. So it was a kind of a day trip to Santo Domingo, and it was well worth it. Probably, you know, you can spend 2 or 3 days if you really try hard. But, you know, a day, it was just enough to give us a feel of the city and a feel of El Capital. At the same time, you know, driving through the whole country, not driving, but being the bus, we got to see how people live. We got to see the rice plantations, the bananas plantations, the sugar cane, all the, you know, the people who live in the villages. You get a feel of the place. I think it's really important not to isolate yourself into a luxurious resort and never be in touch with the real life. I can't tell exactly how many days we spent in Samana Bay. I think we spent about 6 nights. Initially we wanted to spend about only 4 or 5, but I think we spent about 6, not 7, but definitely 6 nights. And after getting diesel and all of that, We departed. We had to get our despacho, so it's not like in another country where you just check in and then you cruise the coast without any worrying. In Dominican Republic, you get a despacho when you want to move from port to port, and only once you have that despacho, you are allowed to leave the port, and you are allowed to enter the next port. Otherwise, you get in trouble. You'll be kind of, you know, illegally moving along the coast. So I got my despacho in the evening. I went and I paid for it and I get it prepared. And then the next morning, a dinghy at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, they pulled along and they give us the despacho. We had a day and a night ahead of us in order to arrive into the next destination. And now, because we did the tour for to see the whales, we kind of knew what to do and what to look for, what are the signs and what are the whales' behavior. And we were able to actually see more whales from our sailboat. We kind of, you know, took a long detour to get out of the bay. And we definitely saw one whale in 2 occasions, quite far away. But then, on the way out of the bay, we got to see 2 whales. Like, I'm talking 30 meters from our boat.
No, Dad, it was like right next to the boat,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, 20, 30 meters.
No, like right next to the boat.
Okay, David says it was like 5 meters from the boat. Okay, so you do the average. But we are sailing out of the bay, and 2 whales were just, you know, surfacing, you know, slowly swimming at the surface, entering the bay. And they were just passing beside us. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. Once we got out, we set sail. It was a bit choppy to get out because all the wind and all the chop, all the swell will kind of push into the bay. So it was a bit of a struggle to get out, but no, nothing dangerous. A few fishermen tried to sell us fish, proper big fish, but it was too big for us to buy or, you know, to consider, especially because the fridge was really full. And we went on to Ocean Village, where we arrived the next morning. Ocean World, which is very close to Puerto Plata. Puerto Plata or Puerto Plata? Puerto Plata. Okay, it's only like 3 miles west of Puerto Plata. We arrived to this ocean world with big expectations because we knew it's going to be a marina, and we knew it's going to be pretty luxurious and expensive at the same time. While we stayed in Samana Bay, which only paid those $30 or something like that, or $40 for the 6 nights that we stayed, we didn't have to pay anything else. Of course, I give a little cash present to Esteban on the day that I left, for him looking after our boat during all these 6 days. But we didn't have to pay any other money. Here in Washington World, we paid something close to, I think, $50 or $60 a night, okay? It was nice, like we had hot showers. We didn't have hot showers in a long time, so that was good. But we had to pay for the water, from what I remember, yeah. We didn't need diesel. And we only stayed, I think, 3 nights there. We stayed only 3 nights in total. There was a swimming pool that were not accessible to us. You need to be a member of a club or to pay $20 a day to access the swimming.
It was $50.
I think it was $20
for one person,
yeah.
And in the website,
you
said that it was free.
Yeah, we thought the swimming pool would be free, but no, it wasn't free. But anyway, we got there, and this was around David's birthday. So we had to do something special for his birthday. And one special thing that we did was to go to the Ocean World Aquarium or Delfinarium or Ocean World, whatever it is, water park. And it was a fantastic day. Okay, it wasn't a cheap. I think it was about $220 for the four of us. But we got to see a lot of shows. We got to see sea lions and like a proper 20-minute show with sea lions. Dolphins. David got to swim with dolphins. We see a parrot show. We went to this big cage where there were a lot of little birds, not parrots, but I can't remember the name, and I'm talking about 200 of them, and they will come and eat from your hand. It was a very relaxing day, and lunch was included, not drinks, but lunch was included in this price. So it was really, really a nice day to spend. That was how we spent David's birthday. Early in the morning, around 11 o'clock or so, a guy came along and said, "Oh no, because you bought the dolphin experience for your son David, you have a free tour of our resort." So the guy came along and took us in a golf cart and to bring us to this exclusive resort. Actually, this was all a marketing campaign to try to sell us a house, a holiday home, a share in a holiday home. We kind of knew something it's up, so we were kind of cautious, but their sales technique are really, really strong. They really, really, really try to push. They show you this absolutely amazing villa. I'm talking really amazing villa with swimming pool and jacuzzi and all of that, with nice views of the sea and the beach. And they want you to buy a contract for, I don't know, 35 years or something like that at 50,000. Plus, every time you go there, you have to pay another fee. Anyway, it's something that you know, it was nice but not so nice. Like, you know, we enjoyed it, but we have felt a little bit threatened because it was so easy to let you know, pick up the pen and sign and pull out the credit card and buy a shared accommodation before you even know. So that was one experience. And another experience, we went to the 27 waterfalls, the four of us, and that was absolutely beautiful. We got a taxi ride in the morning to the waterfalls. You have these guides that create groups of, I don't know, 6, 8, 12 people depending. And they will take you up to the first waterfall, and then you basically walk and jump and swim. Not so much swimming, but some swimming, but mostly jumping and walking through the stream from one waterfall to the next. The highest jump was around 8 meters, that's like 24-25 feet, so pretty serious. It was an experience. By the end of it, we are all shivering with cold. But it was a really, really nice experience, something that it was well worth doing. So that was, you know, in a nutshell, Dominican Republic, okay? Not a lot, but enough. We probably spent in total around 10, 11 days in Dominican Republic, you know, with a night spent at sea and 6 nights in one place and 3 nights in another place. Yeah, but that makes 10 days in total. So we visited Samana Bay, we visited Ocean World, and I took a ride to Puerto Plata, and it's absolutely beautiful little town, a beautiful square and all of these colonial houses. But again, you see the contrast between the people, the tourists that come into the resorts, and the people who, the locals, who struggle. Actually, one evening when me and Claudia were coming from Puerto Plata, we went to the shopping center. You get a free ride with a little van if you do some serious shopping in one of the supermarkets. So we got picked up from the marina. We went to the supermarket. We did our shopping. You know, so we spent around $200. Because we knew in Cuba it's going to be really difficult to buy food stuff. And on the way back, the driver gave a pick, you know, a lift to a lady, a local lady. She was an accountant for a pharmaceutical company, okay? Not pharmaceutical, pharmacies, okay? A chain of pharmacies. So she was the accountant. And a very well-educated lady, definitely kind of what you'll call middle class in Dominican Republic. And we got to drive by her house. And when me and Claudia saw the house she walked in, we couldn't believe our eyes. It was a bungalow, small, dark, half dilapidated, I would say. And that's not because she wouldn't be a lady who knows how to look after a house, but she obviously was struggling, and there were no money to make a nicer house. She actually was renting that place, from what I understand. She had a daughter, and as I said, she was a very presentable lady. I mean, if she was to invite her for dinner in her house, and we just met her on the street, you would believe that she lives in one of, you know, the really well-off houses that you'd see when you drive around. But her living conditions were just shocking to us. And imagine how people who have not so well-paid jobs, and they struggle. I think they live in really, I wouldn't say in poverty, but in, you know, quite a miserable life, I'd say. That was not such a pleasant thing to see, but that was the reality. And this is the reality in those in most of the Caribbean countries. Another problem that we had in Dominican Republic is we couldn't get US dollars. Whenever we use the ATM, we'll get the local money and we'll spend them, and we weren't able to change them into US dollars very easily. And what do you want to say, David? Okay. We did shopping, very good shopping, I'd say, in good vegetables and, decent shopping for what was going to come next. Because after that, our next stop will be Cuba, and crossing to Cuba will be 3 days and 3 nights. And that was lovely. This will be on our next recording. Now, there is something that I want to mention, because I focus so much on our daily day-to-day activity. During our stop in Dominican Republic, the children did quite a little bit of studying, because we are anchored in that bay in Samana. It was quite, very pleasant. And in the morning, actually, David and Tia will do a good bit of studying. But as the trip continued, that stopped being the case. And the studying will go really down the drain. But anyway, we'll talk about this later. Family interaction, family dynamics, they were pretty good, you know, like every other family. We didn't really have any big fights or breakdowns up to that point. We'll have a big fight on our crossing from Cuba to Panama, and I'll talk about that when the time comes. But apart from that, everything was pretty decent. Good memories, good way of spending time in Dominican Republic. Really happy that we stopped there. We definitely didn't do everything that's possible to do, but we did enough to have a taste of Dominican Republic. And this is what I'm trying to point out. We didn't set off in this voyage around the world to exhaust everything everywhere we go. We just go from place to place at a decent speed, and we try to enjoy and to sample the different cultures and the different way of living and the scenery. Okay, so the next one will be Cuba, and that will be, hopefully, I'll do the recording tomorrow. I'll publish this as soon as we get out of San Blas. Here there is no internet. San Blas, by the way, it's amazing, but we'll talk about this later. Yeah, that's it. All the best.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.